Hello again. It's good to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with a program for the next quarter hour that deals with precious passages. That's an interesting term, isn't it? Precious passages. And we have been dealing with precious passages for the last couple of weeks from Genesis 49 and 10, where the great prophecy was made regarding Jesus, last week from the 23rd Psalm, and once again from the Old Testament, this time from the book of Psalms in chapter 1. Before we get into that, let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. It's always a good thing to pray to God, for truly we are told to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And I'm sure all Christians that listen today on this broadcast realize the power of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come into thy great presence once again at this time with thankful hearts because you have spared our lives throughout the past days, and now we have an opportunity of opening thy word and meditating upon the great and sacred truth that thou hast given. And as this teaching comes to our mind as a precious list of passages, may we meditate diligently upon it. We pray, Father, for those who are in sin that listen to the broadcast today, that they may see the need of coming from that realm of sin and coming into Christ Jesus with complete obedience to the gospel. For you have told us in thy word that there is to be obedience from the heart to a form of doctrine. We are grateful, Father, for the blessings that have come upon those who are ill, for we know there have been those restored to their health, and we pray for those who are still ill today, that if it be according to thy will, that the means that's being used may restore them to their health. Be with those who are steeped in sorrow today because of the death of loved ones, and we pray for our nation and the nations of the world. May men as leaders and in a position of authority come to realize that peace with thee is ultimately necessary if we're going to be at peace with our fellow man. May we realize thy word is powerful, and it goes where the doctrines of man can never go. It indeed offers unto us a spiritual stability that will cause us to rise above the fogs and the haze and maze of man-made doctrine and serve thee faithfully. We are thankful for those who make this broadcast possible and for those who serve thee. We are grateful for the death of thy Son upon the cross, and we trust that we may value with great appreciation and thanksgiving all of these blessings. This is our prayer we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, 1,000 years before Christ came to this earth, we have the writings mainly of David that tell us many times about the issues of life and how to overcome them. Again, on the broadcast today, we deal with what can be termed a psalm of life. And what seems to be a negative approach is really a positive and an affirmative approach. Listen to the words from this wonderful psalm that has only 6 verses, but has a great depth of meaning. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, as I read this to you on the broadcast today, I'm convinced that just by reading it, and just thinking to even a small degree what these verses have to offer is a strength that goes beyond what we can gain from other human or doctrinal sources. When he says that the Christian, and we're going to liken him to a godly man as a Christian, because I believe that's what the psalmist David is doing clear back in the Old Testament. There were godly people back there, godly men and women. On this side of the cross, we have Christians being called, or disciples being called Christians first at Antioch in Acts 11:26. But here's the picture of a Christian, a godly man, a godly woman. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What kind of tree is planted by the rivers of water? Well, whatever kind of a tree it starts out to be, it has an ample amount of moisture. And as you're driving through the countryside, perhaps in virgin territory, perhaps in a place you've never been before, you look across the landscape and you see a row of trees, and you've got a pretty good idea that there's a creek there or a river. And so the tree that grows or is planted by the rivers of water is a tree that has an opportunity for success. What does it do? It bringeth forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither. And liken unto this godly man, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, the tree, as we have often told congregations and individuals, is a real good example of what the Christian life really is. The tree, you see, is unmovable, and that's the way the Christian must be. But yet we find the tree is alive. The root structures are being put down beneath the earth, and we can't always see that. So we can't always see the things that are happening in the life of a Christian as that Christian grows on the inside spiritually. But we can see the fruitage of that tree. His leaf also shall not wither. His prospering may not always be in the eyes of men, but it will be in the eyes of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58 said we were to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to relate to you from that scripture in connection with this teaching in the first chapter of Psalms, what a good sister told me one time about our labor not being in vain in the Lord. You see, this harmonizes with the idea of whatsoever he doeth shall prosper from the first Psalm, verse 3. You know, she said, I realize that my life can be a success, even though I may have many frailties here in this life. She said, the Lord has promised that when I leave this life, by being faithful to him, that I will have a new body that's fitted for eternity. You know, this would have been an outstanding thought offered by anyone, and certainly one of age. But this lady was racked with arthritis, and she followed by saying, when I get that new body, it's not going to have arthritis. Well, she gave me a new dimension on 1 Corinthians 15:58, and I thought of it as we were preparing this broadcast, that whatsoever we do will prosper. It's going to be prosperous. It's going to be that which will be outstanding, because it will go before the Lord as a sweet-smelling savor. It will be that which indicates to the Lord that we want to follow his will, that we want to do his teaching. Now, one thing that makes this righteous man be like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that truly is successful before God, and I use that term because in Joshua 1:8, the word success is found in the Bible. It's a scriptural term. It indicates one who lets the will of the Lord be in his mind so that he can meditate upon it, so he can speak about it, so that he can do according to all that is written therein. This man will be prosperous, and he will have good success. So the term success is a Bible term, and I'm not using it in a temporal way here. I'm using it in a spiritual way. But one has to know the will of the Lord, for we've often said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And again, I want to say, not alone free from sin, but free to live for him, to know what he wants us to do. Much like the Apostle Peter said in 2 Peter 1:1, after giving us that wonderful list of so-called Christian virtues, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, he said, if these things be in you and abound, they're going to make you that neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how are we going to get this knowledge? Well, listen to verse 2, Psalms 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Had you ever stopped to think if you find yourself in a position where, well, the Bible seems difficult for you to understand, and really you may kind of shun away from reading it because you'll say, well, I just can't understand it. It's such a big book. You see, you've got to read the Word of God, and you've got to think about it. And this is something we all can do. Yes, the farmer is able to think about the Word of God while he's working in the field, the housewife while she's working in her house. One sister I know in the state of Ohio told me years ago that she used to put a scripture up there above the board where she was working and preparing meals for her family, and she would memorize the scriptures and think about them. A truck driver told me that he had a certain span of scriptures that he would try to memorize as he had typed them on a clipboard and put them up in the cab of the truck. And so it goes into all walks of life. I believe people can learn more about God's Word, not alone by reading it, but also by turning it over in their mind. Now, not alone do we have to read his word and delight in it, but the first verse tells us the course we must follow. Blessed is the man who really doesn't do a certain thing or refrains from a certain thing, who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You see, that's just a casual acquaintance, so to speak, as we walk in the counsel of the ungodly. But he says not to stand in the way of sinners. That's getting in closer association. And then the final step, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. That indicates the third posture in which we become a part of those who are scornful. Have you noticed when you find people who actually do not believe the Word of God, that many times they are not content to simply say, well, I don't believe it, but they want to make fun of it. They want to poke fun at it. There are people who are not Christians that seem to delight in poking fun at those who are Christians. Well, I want you to see in the closing moments the lack of stability of the unrighteous. They're like chaff which the wind driveth away. They're not going to stand approved in the judgment, and they're not going to be found in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, and truly he knows that the ungodly shall perish. We trust on the broadcast today that we have given you a picture of what the Word of God can mean to your life. Will you hear it? Will you believe it? Will you repent of your sins? Will you confess your faith in Christ? Will you be baptized into Christ? And then rise to walk a new life and walk truly not in the counsel of the ungodly or in the way of sinners or in the seed of the scornful, but walk in the way of the Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He will give you a connection with the Father that will begin here but continue on into eternity. May God bless us all as we obey that marvelous and that wonderful truth.